say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. God should be the only thing we live for. That's it. And just enjoy the rest of your life. I know that in some venues that's a contradictory term to serve God and enjoy life. We're told we need to hate this life. We need to hate this world. God put us here to rule and reign. And I don't love the ways of this world by any means, but I love this planet that God put me on. I mean, I'm not a Martian. Mercury's a little warm. And to be honest with you, some of those planets are spinning really fast and I get dizzy, so. But you know, as I was preparing for this message this morning, I was just constantly reminded, you know, we sang, He's a good, good Father. And we need to remember that. He's a good Father. He's not waiting for you to fall. He already knows you're going to do it. He's waiting to pick you back up. And if you don't fall, if you don't fall down sometimes, when are you going to learn? You know how many times it took me putting a hammer on top of my ladder to figure out not to put a hammer on top of my stinking ladder? Well, I've got the soft spots to prove it. Sometimes you got to learn that way. Most of the times you got to learn that way. A couple speeding tickets, you learn to take your foot off the accelerator a little bit. Slow down and enjoy life. I don't know if it's just because I've gotten older, but I've learned to slow down. I don't drive as fast as I used to. Except on highways. I ain't going to lie right there. I will run with the traffic. I want to get from point A to point B. But if I want to just drive, I get off the highway and I enjoy and cruise. You don't know what you're missing. But that has nothing to do. Just enjoy your life. Amen. Let's bless the tithe and offering. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you that you are the good Father. Lord, that you sent your Son to stand in for us, to pay a price that we could never pay. And Father, from the beginning of our time, there was only one thing you ever required, and that was what was yours. And since Adam took what was yours in the realm of the fruit, we now give you 10% of our first fruits. So Lord, we bless them. We present them to you, Lord God. I know they're holy and they are sacred to you. So bless them now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated and Super Kids are dismissed. I don't need that food. Well, I got a, some of you, most of you don't know, there's five of my siblings, to include me, and the youngest one had a baby last year, had a little girl, and then she found out shortly thereafter she was pregnant again with a little boy. He has three little girls and a little boy, and so anyhow, I saw him last week at a wedding, and Poor Hillary, she was miserable. She did not look real thrilled, and she was uncomfortable. And we're having a family reunion in September, middle of September, and I said, well, maybe you'll have the baby before then. And my brother, oh, no, absolutely not. He's not coming. Absolutely not. Okay. I'll join with you because she's due the week after. Well, he was born yesterday. Noah decided he was not waiting for what daddy wanted. He was coming when he was ready. And so looks like he's doing good. But I wanted to share that. It was just a reminder, God is good. You know, seeing that fresh life. And there have been some issues along the way. And, I haven't heard anything negative come back. Everything has cleared up. He is on a CPAP, but considering he is about a month early, a little over a month early, that's understandable for little boys. So anyhow, so this morning, sometime during this week when the Lord started, just we were talking about the message, and I said, oh, yeah, I know right where I'm going to go. Lord, yeah, I know. I think I know what you want me to do. You know, I know what you want me to say. And, well, when I put what I thought God wanted me to say about it away and listened to what he wanted to say, he showed me so much more. Because I was just going to point out the fact, and it's a real simple fact, that somewhere along the line, the New Testament, and I say anybody, any church teachings from the 80s on, pretty much has taught that Job lied. Job was wrong when he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. And the Bible actually records that in all of us, he did not sin nor charge God falsely. So the people, and that's why I was taught that it was wrong. You know, the song, He Gives and Takes Away, but is it Lincoln Brewster? You know, it's a beautiful song. I don't know who sings it, honestly. But it's like, that's just wrong. God doesn't, well, we've talked about it before. God instigated the fight. And you know what? I kind of look at this another way as well. He knew Job. He knew his dog in that fight. He knew him. And he wouldn't have struck that fight up if he didn't know him. You go in knowing that your opponents, you're going to win, right? And but that wasn't it. I was like, okay, Lord, where are we going? What are we doing? And as I read, and God took me all the way to the end of Job. You know, most to the end of all this. Has anybody in here besides me read the whole book of Job? I want to see hands. It can get a little confusing, a little heartbreaking, a little, what is going on? And then my other Bible at home, like I said, this is my Bible. I love this Bible. It's falling apart. It's marked up. It's got scribbles in it where Jesse got hold of it when he was a baby. But in there, I found a dissertation of how I don't know if somebody had taught it or else the Holy Spirit started showing me the actual conversation. See, the Bible doesn't always refer back to who's now talking. It just carried on in some places. And I thought, well, this makes more sense now. Job is answering so-and-so. So this morning we're actually going to start in Job chapter 1. We're going to go to verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright and one who feared God and shunned evil. Job was a righteous man. Now, here's some things many people don't know. Job was not a Jew. He was not Hebrew at all. He was a Gentile. Okay. Job also lived during the time of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham wasn't the only one serving God. See, we fail to remember. There was a lot of other people, and not everybody was a heathen. But there was a plan that needed to happen. And I believe even Job might have even been given the opportunity for it. I don't know. But Job was an upright man. He feared God and he shunned evil. And so the Bible goes on to say that in the course of time, the sons of God presented himself to the Lord, and God asked the devil, where have you been? And he said, I've been going to and fro. And he said, so it was that when the days of feasting had run their course, that Job would send him his children. Send them and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God. So 10 offerings. Every time he did this, every time he thought his kids might have sinned. Stop and think about that for yourself. So just a minute, folks. Your kids, anytime you thought they may have sinned and you felt you had to go offer, make an offering. Or better yet, how about your parents and you? You know how much you've sinned. Think about your poor parents. Stressed out, oh man, they might have sinned. He's got 10 kids. That's a lot of offerings. Anytime he thought they may have sinned. Sinned in their hearts, thus Job did regularly. So probably weekly, maybe daily. We don't know, but he did it often. because he was afraid his kids were going to sin and curse God. Now, verses 7. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him on the earth. Remember who else was on the earth? Abraham, possibly Isaac and Jacob. Same times. And God said, there is none on the earth like him. A blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. The word consider means to take thought. Have you thought about him? Now, we all know the rest of the answer. Most of you have read it. Well, of course I have. Does Job fear God for no reason? You've got a hedge. I can't get near him. God said, all right, do what you will, just do not hurt him. We now know the rest of that story, don't we? Cattle, all of his farm, all of his stuff, his children are killed in basically a tornado. Takes down the house. They're all having a birthday party. And they're all killed. One shot. Bible says that Job tore his clothes. And he wept. And this is when he said, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken. And again, the word records, and in all of this, Job did not sin nor accuse God falsely. We know further on that he goes, Satan goes back. He confronts God again. He said, skin for skin, God, skin for skin. Let me touch him. Let me hurt him. Y'all ever wonder, the devil's a sicko. He's looking to hurt you. Let me at him. And God said, all right, you can't kill him. This is where we start talking about those boils. I mean, I've had a couple boils. I mean, fire ants primarily, or even poison ivy boils, but fire ant boils. Those things hurt. But he had boils that he had to just actually take broken pottery and scrape to get the pus out of them. And yeah, that's just nasty to think about. And yet, he didn't curse God. He never cursed God. His wife told him, said, curse God and die. That's a nice wife, isn't it? She just wants all my stuff. She don't care about me. I'm one of the wealthiest people on the planet. And she just told me to curse God and die, get it over with. And he held on. He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't bring a charge against the Lord. So, you know, what happens? You know, same thing that happens to all of us. His closest friends come to him. One of them even says, I had a vision, and this shape, this dark, hairy thing came, and it told me you're sinning. Well, the Bible says that he was upright and blameless before the Lord. But there was still a reason why God did this. And years ago, I got onto and caught hold of a message, and it is what opened the opportunity, but it's not the real reason that God was dealing with. Because Job did later say, the thing that I have feared has come upon me. His kids being killed. He could handle the donkeys being taken, the camels being taken, crops being destroyed. But it was his children. Something that meant the most, something that he sacrificed for regularly. And when he said that, he still didn't bring a charge against the Lord falsely. Because God did, in the end, if you understand how authority works, God instigated it. God gave the devil the authority. The devil did it. See, as a leader in the Marine Corps, if I told, we call them non-rates, they didn't rate the respect. You got to be tough. If I told them to do something and they did it, there's a little bit they're going to suffer. Who really suffers? Me. I'm the one that gave the order. That's how authority works. And a lot of guys have had to be told this. For what we did. I ain't gonna lie. There's guys that took warfare way too far. But understand something. God's gonna hold every general, every colonel, every major, every captain, every sergeant, every corporal accountable for the orders they gave and the things they did with the authority. Authority is not given lightly and should never be considered a light thing. But so his three friends come. They all start pointing out, "You're a sinner, you're a sinner." And Job, what's the first thing he does? He starts defending himself. "But I'm not. I'm not. I'm righteous. I'm righteous." And Job starts telling them what makes him righteous. The things he's done. See, I didn't know what we do. Somebody accuses us of something, and that's the hardest thing for me to keep my mouth shut on. Somebody brings a charge against me. And there's been a few over the years. And the reality is, you got to shut up and let God fight my battle. God will be my justification. And when I have held my peace and let God fight that battle, I've been justified. But anytime I've opened my mouth and tried to defend myself, every time I've gotten a ticket. "Well, this..." No, I don't care. They don't care why you were speeding. They just want to give you a ticket at that point. And the more you talk, the deeper it's getting. But Job continued to defend himself. And then finally, those three friends, they got done with what they want, and Job just went on his rant, defending himself. And then there was a fourth one that's not mentioned in the front. I don't know why he's not mentioned. His name's Elihu. He was a younger one. He was a young man by comparison. And he even states out and says, "I've kept my peace now because you guys are my elders. And I felt that it was only right, me being the younger, to sit and listen." And he said, "But I can no longer sit still. What I have to say is expanding in me like wine in a wineskin. And it has got to come out." He also goes on to say, "Great men aren't necessarily wise. And old men don't necessarily understand justice." And he goes in and he starts talking to Job about God, about God's righteousness, about God's goodness. In all of the things that got pointed out, and Job himself, he even said, "I am righteous because of what I do." I couldn't find the exact one again in there because I was like, I lost it. But I just read it. He said, "I'm righteous because of what I do. Not righteous because of God, but because of what I've done." That's why our word says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. It's not what we do that makes us righteous. It has nothing to do with what we do. Yes, you need to obey God. Yes, you need to do good works, but that is not what makes you righteous. You can't earn the righteousness. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Genesis 15:6, that God accounted it to Abraham as righteousness for his faith because he simply believed God. And this is the moment when God took him out and said, "Look up into the sky. See all the stars? I will make your descendants as them." And Abraham just, it said he believed. It doesn't say he got on the ground, did 3 Hail Marys, 5 Our Fathers, whatever. It just said he just believed in his heart. Do you know that's where you're supposed to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord? Is in your heart. And confession will come out of your mouth if you really believe that in your heart. The Bible talks about our heart. Out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks. Trust me, a lot of us, we, myself included, have a long way to go in a lot of things. But Job's real issue came out in his exhortation to his accusers. Job was self-righteous. "The acts I did have made me righteous. And so therefore, by my sacrificing, I will extend my self-righteousness to my children. My righteousness will cover my children." I got news for you, that don't work. Your righteousness does not extend to your children. Every last one of us have to work out our own faith with fear and trembling. I've known people that said, I've never sinned. These are people that claim Jesus Christ. Are you reading your Bible? You read the same Bible I said, read in Romans said, for all have sinned. I call this the Norman Greenbaum philosophy or doctrine. Anybody know who he is? See a hand. Anybody know who Norman Greenbaum? Okay, I got one. I got one who knows the song Spirit in the Sky. There you go. Let me read the words to that for you. Never been a sinner. I've never sinned. But I'm going to the Spirit in the Sky. I'm self-righteous because I've never been a sinner. But yet my Bible says that I was. There are people sitting in churches today self-righteous because they don't believe they've sinned. That they're always, every decision they made is the best one. I can tell you right now, I made some bad ones yesterday. It might have been eating all those cream puffs too. But understand, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And if we let that sin continue to fester and continue to grow, thinking that it's us, I didn't die for you. I would defend you. But believe me, when I say this, if you murder somebody, I'm not going to take your place. That's the Bible, by the way. Barely will a good man die for somebody, and let alone a righteous. He'd barely die for a righteous person, let alone somebody who's guilty of sin. So we see where Job was actually exercising self-righteousness with his sacrifices. He thought that his sacrifice, even later on he says, it was because of my piety is why I was blessed. Actually, obedience, period. What we need to understand is God desires mercy and not sacrifice. We want to go back to the law. We had this discussion, was it this morning or yesterday? We had some really good, I got up at 5:30 this morning. A few big cups of coffee and whatnot. But, you know, we were discussing, you know, the Bible and how our righteousness, it's nothing that I've done, nothing you've done. You can't be good enough. You can't do enough good. In Matthew 6, when he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His righteousness is being obedient to what he says and understanding that it's because of him, because of his mercy in our lives that we live and move and have our being. I look at things and I say, okay, God, you know, hindsight's always 20/20, right? You know, oh yeah, I see why that happened. I can see why there seemed to be opposition for me. I was being a little disobedient. I wasn't listening to what God told me. I mean, that year out of high school when I knew, I really felt the draw to join the Marines, and I wouldn't do it. Part of it was because I was a little bit of a chicken, not going to lie. You know, every time I heard of a battle going on, I'd hear somebody in the family, oh, send in the Marines. I remember saying that myself one time. And I said, send in the Marines. I was like, whoa, wait a minute. What am I saying? I'm saying send me in. By the way, that was my first step towards changing and growing up, is when I started actually learning to love people that I didn't know. First step. Many more to come. But that didn't make me righteous. It got me on the paths where God needed me to be. You know, we've sat and talked many times over how it's amazing how God had these steps ordered that certain people, when we were down in North Carolina last year and we talked to our pastor down there, and you know, they unfortunately had, there was a divorce and a big whole nasty, not niceness went on, to put it mildly. We were talking with her, and we'd never really shared too much about ourselves to them. You know, we looked at them as big brothers and big brother and big sister, because they're like, what, 8 years older than us? 12? Oh, they're 12 years. Okay. So, but we still looked up to them as they were our big brother and big sister. And, you know, she began to ask us some things, and I began to share from my heart things that I had experienced and went through and how God used them to set me up for where I needed to be. And I told her when I first came, and she says, "You just missed the first adultery." And shortly after we left, the second one happened. She said, "So what you're telling me is if you had been here at the first one or at the second one," I said, "Yeah, you'd have probably blown me out of the water." I said, "I was that fragile. My faith in mankind and religion was about this big. But what God actually had to do was teach me to trust him, not man." And that's why I tell you, do not have your faith wrapped up in me. You had better be able to walk on water yourself. You had better be able to trust the one who did it for you. I will fail you. Your spouse will fail you. Your parents will fail you. Your siblings will fail you. The person sitting in front of, beside, or behind you right now will fail you. Just like he did Job. All they did was point out what he was doing wrong. And yet he was innocent. You know how we know? Because when God got on the scene and he started smacking down Job, he said, "Let me ask you, where were you when I laid the foundations of this earth?" Anybody ever been that cocky? That's the degree God had to go to? "Where were you when I built this planet?" Don't know. "Can you hook the Leviathan? Can you take the horse?" You read down, there's some awesome things that God brings up. And all of this, Job finally had to admit that he was unrighteous in his mind, in his heart towards God, that he had started seeing it as himself. FYI, it's kind of the same thing Lucifer fell for. He started misplacing where that glory came from. But shortly thereafter, God says, "Now, you three bumbling fools, Eliphaz, Beelzebub, and Jehu," no, I don't know what his name is. Like I said, there was actually four if you read the book of Job, but there was three that brought charges against him falsely. And in that, God commanded them to make sacrifices. And Job even prayed for him then. He said absolutely nothing to Elihu, the young man who had to correct his elders. That's why I kind of disagree with the Apostle Paul when he says, "Do not correct an older man." I've had guys walk out of here that I'm like, "You are three biscuits short of a biscuit and gravy meal. All you got is gravy. There's no biscuits there anymore." How many know we don't live in the 60s anymore? Things are different. We don't live in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. We are living in the 2020s, rapidly approaching the 2030s. 100 years ago, we were in the roaring 20s. I remember thinking, that was so old, so long ago. Folks, so much changed from 1923 to 1973. From 1973 to 2023. So much has changed. Warfare has changed. The country has taken some changes. But in each, and regardless, in that 100 years, the country made a lot of changes, good and bad. But the body of Christ was never supposed to change. And I'm not saying that we don't figure out things going on. You know, "Oh, well, we didn't have air conditioning." You're right. I thank God. I bless the man wherever he, I know he's dead. I think his name is Carrier, isn't it? That's what the meme I keep seeing was. It was Carrier, Mr. Carrier. Thus, Carrier furnaces and air conditioning. He invented it. Thank you, Jesus, for creating that man. We've been in here when it's hot, without air conditioning, and without heat. We really had to do a lot. We had a lot of dancing going on back then. It was usually... But you see, there are people, there are churches today that still say, well, we didn't have air conditioning when this church was founded. We aren't going to have it today. Churches that say we didn't have music when this church was founded. We're not going to have it now. You were persecuted then. They were hunting you down. I get that. You don't want to make any more noise than absolutely necessary. Somebody breaks wind. Shh. We're hiding in a cave. They want to kill us. So you can't shout. You can't dance. You can't play instruments, even though the Bible clearly tells us to make a joyful noise to the Lord. Sing with the timbrel and the harp. And whatever else instrument you have, just do it melodically, please. But you see, people don't want to change. This is our way of being righteous before the Lord. Drums, keyboards, guitars, they don't make us unrighteous. Thinking that what we do makes us self-righteous. We are righteous only because He is righteous. And that is it. You are expected to do good works, period. And you're not expected to do them all. There's lots of other people around. We forget that. Oh, I just got to go and do all these good works. That's great. How about you make sure you're doing the ones you're supposed to? If God tells Monica to do something, and I say, no, I'll do that, Monica. But God told her. You know what I just did? I just robbed her of the blessing of obedience. So Job was actually self-righteous. I have never sinned. Shot him down. And God knew that. He knew that what he was about to go through would reveal his heart. You want to see people's real heart, their true heart? See them in a time of stress. Job lost his livelihood and his children. I could lose my livelihood. But that last one, everybody in here can feel that pain. In one shot, 10 children gone. The stress got to him. And then his friends, what did you do? Where have you sinned? And then the one says, well, I had this vision of this dark form with hair. And if it's got hair, it's more than likely a demon. That'll help you out. And even leathery skin, I don't know. Or it could be an angel of light. See, that's the great thing about the Holy Spirit today. The Holy Spirit's convicting us of the sin in our lives. And we know it. I can't do that. God, I'm not going to obey you. I'm just not going to obey you. Your life will get miserable until you finally do it. Until we finally moved, till we made the decision to move home. And I asked God, I said, God, when do we move? He said, March. To me, I don't know if she was really ever in the beginning was on board, but she stuck with me. She's like, you know, I'll be 6 months pregnant, right? I said, yeah. I said, but I feel that's when God wants us to go. It's my first real, besides staying in North Carolina. But that was an easy decision. I mean, other than we wouldn't see our family as often. But it was the best decision. We trusted God. We grew so much in our faith. We were donating blood just to be able to buy some milk. Some of you have been there. I can still taste that when they put and it's not the plasma. They take the plasma out and they put back it's kind of yellowish in color. But I can still taste that when they put it back. It'll hit me. I got nurses in here, and they're all drawing blanks. Anyhow, but that's all they did. They took the plasma out of the blood. I still feel the needle of the one guy I really wanted to hit. Because she always got him, and she's like, would you trade me places? This guy is terrible. Like, do you know how many times I've been poked and prodded by Navy corpsmen? All right. I swear the needle came out back here. And he was an EMT, folks. That's what should scare us. But we trusted God. And we moved when God said to move. And we watched things happen. And then we watched how things came against us again. Why? Because the devil did not like the fact that we obeyed God. But he protected us. And we got to work some things out personally. But guess what? It was us. There was nobody else involved in it. So hopefully, we all understand. We cannot extend our righteousness, our obedience to anybody else. Your family, you can't do it. Doesn't matter if your mom and dad are being morons. You can't do it. They got to come to that under terms. Your children, doesn't matter. They have to obey God or their lives will be miserable. They think they're having fun. I know some people right now, I can see the bitterness in them. They bit back on the root of offense. And they chewed on it this time, and they are going whole hog the other way. So don't let your self-righteousness be what the problem is. You have got to commit to what God says. And if you have control over things that are not right in your realm that you control, you need to fix them. That's all there is to it. So, if you ever think about, we always look at it as patience. It was 6 months. That's what theologians have determined the time frame was. Yeah, that stinks. Has anybody endured anything for more than 6 months? Yeah, we all have. It really wasn't the patience. He let go and he started to just point, blah, here's what I do, blah, here's my goodness, blah. And Elihu was sitting over here. He's like, okay, guys, I have had enough. You guys didn't even help him. You didn't answer anything for him. Job, if you will listen to me. And all he did was point him to God. He talked about God's goodness, God's righteousness, God's mercy. Nothing that he did. And God didn't bring a charge against Elihu. Okay, so Jason, if you'll go ahead and end the Facebook feed. Peace out, folks. Oh, yeah. I already read that one without. So, we're a little light here all the way around today. It's a beautiful day. But some of you are already aware, some of you are not. But there is a back row that's empty. A couple weeks ago, Joshua and Tony came to us. And he said that we have to go. He was the first kid here. Most of you have watched him grow up. And he knew years ago that he was going to have to go. But when he got married, his wife was like, I'm not ready. I love this church. And afterwards, the Lord reminded me, I even spoke it out in my own mouth. He's got to go. He's gone as far as he can with me right now. And I get it. I can't imagine being a PK. I really can't. He he did share some things with us about things he saw people do to us. And they bothered him. They hurt him. I've learned to forgive. Doesn't mean I trust those people any further and I can throw them. But that's not why he had to go. He's not offended at anybody in here. I need you to understand that you had nothing to do with it. Don't think more highly of yourselves than you ought. He had to go. They both had to go. They knew they were in disobedience. And they've known that they were in full disobedience for at least the last year. And so they are going to be going somewhere else. They are still in the community. They're still your brother and your sister. Say hi to them. Love them. Don't pester them. It's none of your business where they are, what they're doing. Okay? I just say that because it's kind of obvious. And anybody watching at home, they could have come this morning. I'm personally, that thing is a two-edged sword. I don't want to go to church. I'm going to sit here and watch it on Facebook in my panties. Why don't you put your big boy panties on and come to church? This is where love is stirred. This is where we get fed. But that's why the Bible tells us not to forsake ourselves, the assembling of ourselves, even as we see the day getting closer. There's always something else to do. Do you understand? God said, take the Sabbath. There's no exceptions. Take it. But anyhow, so, like I said, don't pester them. They're on Facebook still. Nothing's changed. They still work at the same place. They still live at the same place. They still eat the same food. We will see them nearly every Sunday. Yes, I'm going to miss them. But I'm looking forward to the transformation into the man of God that I know is there. I had to leave. I had to go away. She had to leave and go away. But we came back. I'm not saying they're coming back, and they don't know, but they don't know that they won't. They have to be obedient to God. So just understand that. I can't extend my righteousness to my son. I can extend, this is what's going to start happening if you keep disobeying God. He will resist you even more because self-righteousness is your pride. And he resists the proud. So understand that. They love you. They didn't tell everybody. They didn't get a chance to. They were trying hard because they said, we will finish up the party, the picnic. But that will be it. And don't read anything into anything, okay? And like I said, I'm rejoicing. I rejoice at what's going to happen. I rejoice at the victories, at the lives they're going to be able to change. I don't know what God's got for him in the fullness of his life. I never thought I'd be preaching. Yet here I am. I'm not saying he will. I believe at least one of my children will. So, if one or all end up preaching, praise God. But they learn to trust God on their own, not with me. Just as it was my prayer. I don't want to know you, Lord, through mom and dad, through my wife, through my preacher, through anybody. I want to know you personally. What better way to do that than be walking on that tightrope by yourself, knowing he's got you? So, like I said, we just wanted to talk to you about that. It's not like we...
We're sad. Listen, God.
She does. So now, having said all that, if you're thinking of leaving, you can't.
No.
Okay? We lost two in 1 week. That hurt. Because we do. I mean, seriously, we view you guys as so much family. We love you all. But, you know, I knew a while back Joshua was going to have to go. And, you know, it's kind of hard to learn to soar when your dad's the preacher. So, and I want my kids to soar. I want them to fly high. They're still my kids. I'm still going to see them every week. Actually, seen them the last 3 days. And I'm going to see them some more this week. So it's not a big deal for us on that. But I want you to understand, we hurt with all of you. And, you know, Angela was right. It's something in 22 years we have noticed. When there's a little bit of a pruning, there's always life that comes. Before you guys came, we had a pruning. You know? People come. And I guess, what's his name? Lester Summerall told Doc Barclay. Oh, John Osteen. Joel's dad told Mark Barclay one time, because he was pastoring a church and was trying to, and he was just really like, Lord, there's people leaving all the time. Well, people leave for various reasons. Some of them are offended. Some of them, they're not yours. But anyhow, he said, Mark, let me tell you something. View yourself as a bus driver. People get on and people get off. I have a hard time with that analogy personally. Because I kind of maybe give more of myself. You know, you don't know how much I pray for you. But I can't see you hurt. I can't sit here and say, no, I'm the only one. That's not what this is about. I want the best for you. And sometimes we've had to. But trust me, God will bring the increase. There's always a pruning and there's always increase. She pruned all the flower blooms off of our impatient the other day. Just the other day, she's sitting there and that thing's covered. And the reason she pinched them all off was because there was only a dozen or so. But in the process, there's three or four dozen now. So understand, people's lives are getting changed. I'm not everybody's cup of tea, and I praise God you can handle me. But in the end, Jesus is still King, and that's what they promised us. They said, Dad, we aren't going to any church. It's goofy. we're not going to any church that does not preach the power of God. I said, gotcha. All right, just let me know where you settle. Oh, no. I was getting ready to say something stupid. No, but just understand, that's all. No, they're not offended at anybody. They're not butthurt at anybody. They just got to go. So, I get it. All right, let's stand. I almost had you out here early. But right on time. See if I... Let's go save me. Walking around here like I got my phone in my pocket. I still got my keys. I didn't make it to my office much this morning. But let's try to remember in all these things, it's not about us. We're to bring glory to God. And that's our job, is to lift him up. Rejoice when others rejoice. Hurt when they hurt. The tape was already pulled off, and the sting was a little bit right now. But it's gone. I'm good. She'll be good. She's mama, a little different than daddy. When we said goodbye to Jesse, I just had to drive fast. But, and I know many of you have been in the same boat on different things, and even more so. So, just when you think about them, bless them. That's what we're supposed to do. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for the example you've given us in your word of the man Job. Lord, he did good. You said he did good. But Father, we know by reading this that he took those things as that's what made him good. It wasn't that you did. Father, we now know that Jesus Christ is the reason why we're righteous. Father, and if any of us are falling upon our sword thinking, oh, I'm only righteous because of the things I do, Father, maybe help us to see that we're only righteous because of what Jesus has done. And that if we seek your kingdom and your ways of righteousness, Lord God, that maybe blessing our children is your righteousness. Father, may we bless our children every day, not out of fear that they're sinning, but out of love and compassion that you are going to be there with them each and every day, Lord, that you will guide them, you will direct them. Father, for our loved ones who are not saved, Father, I pray right now, you begin to stir in them, stir in us to pray for them, to bless them every day, Lord. Father, may your compassion for the lost be burning in us. And that we speak to the people you have set before us. And now, Father, I thank you for these people. Lord God, again, there's many that are still struggling with things and they're fighting. Lord, I bless them. I pray now, Lord, that you go before them. You make their paths straight. You make their decisions clear. Lord God, you shut the enemy down as he is whispering in their ears. Father, I bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.